Firstly, I'd just like to repeat, I want to say thank you to the ones who sponsored tonight. Who sponsored Lefua Shlema. Who sponsored, guys, Lefua Shlema, Sylvia Bat Rachel, Farida Bat Sarah Sarin, Shanaz Bat Munez, and Lulu Nishmat, Rabbi Yehuda Kohen Bar Chacham. You should all have a Lefua Shlema and a Ilui Neshama Bezrat Hashem. So, Rabotai, when we begin looking at this week's parasha, Parashat Toldot, we see a very, very shocking episode that happened. We see that Yitzchak and Rivka were praying to have a child. They weren't able to have a child. In fact, Rashi says that all the imahot, quotes the Chazal, all the imahot were barren. They were not able to have children, with the exception of Leah. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu mit'aveh b'tfilatan shel tzadikim. Hashem loves the tfilot of tzadikim. Hashem loves the tfilot. So that's why He deprives them of something that they want. Why? So that they would go and pray to Him for that. Because Hashem loves that. Loves the tfilot of tzadikim. Now, we could go on from today until tomorrow about the value of tfilah and how far it can go. That's not for now. We see that Rivka was not able to have children. So what happened was that Yitzchak and Rivka, they both went to a corner and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. Finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered their prayers. Actually, not their prayers. Rashi says Hashem answered Yitzchak, not Rivka, right? Because Tzadik ben Tzadik's prayer is stronger than a Tzadik ben Rasha, okay? But finally, He answered them. And what does it say? The Pasuk, ויתר יצחק להשם לנוכח אשתו כי הכרה היא, ויתר לו השם ותר רבקה אשתו. Okay? She became pregnant. What does the next pasuk say? ויתרוצצו הבנים בקרבה, ותאמר אם כן למה זה אנוכי, ותלך לדרוש את השם. And there was a מלחמה going on in her stomach. Okay? As Rashi points out, whenever she passed by Bet Avodah Zarah, this one was kicking Bet Midrash, the other one was kicking, and there was World War III going on inside of there. It was very painful.
It was that bad.
And what happened? Vatelech lidrosh et Hashem. She went to go ask Hashem, what's going on over here? What does it mean she went to go ask Hashem? She went to go to Shem Ve'ever, Yishvat Shem Ve'ever, and to ask the ones who represent Hashem, the Talmidei Chachamim. And through a messenger, Hashem told her, through Shem, Hashem told Rivka, Shnei goyim bevitnech, you have two children, Shnei lelim mimayach beperedu, okay, fine, very good. So now, question. You've waited so long to have a child. Now, just because of some rumbling inside, you say, Imken lama ze anochi, if this is what it is, what do I need it for? If I'm going to go through this much pain, this is the pashut pshat over here. She said, "Imken lama ze anochi? What do I need it for? I don't want it." What does it mean? I don't want it. You're dying to have a child. Show me a mother that's been waiting for 10 years to have a child. Finally, she's granted a child. She'll be willing to endure all the pain in the world just to give birth to this child. What's going on over here? This is Rivka. What, she's a mefuneket? She's not able to handle pain? Chas v'shalom. Can't say that about Rivka. That's question number one. Question number two, again, another very strange episode that takes place. It's in last week's parasha, Vayera, that Hashem appeared to Avraham on the third day of his Brit Milah. He came to visit him, Biku Cholim. And then there were three messengers that came, that were passing by. What did Avraham do? He said to Hashem, you know, Mechila, Bimchilat Kvodo, please wait right here. I have to go and greet these guests. Okay, so the Gemara does say that we see from here that the mitzvah of Achnasat Orchim is greater than Kabbalat Pnei Shechina. Greeting guests, bring them into your home, taking care of their needs is greater than spending time with the Shechina. Beautiful. Okay, that's a nice fluffy, Ma'amar Chazal. It shows the importance of Achnasat Orchim. But I don't understand. What can be greater than spending time with the Shekhinah? Every single mitzvah is, the purpose of a mitzvah is tzavta, to get you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is dvekut. But here is Avraham at the peak of Dvekut, at the peak of the connection with Hashem. And he leaves that to go and do a mitzvah. Okay, so there are 101 different explanations to this Ma'amar Chazal. Let's offer another one today. What was Avraham thinking by leaving the Shekhinah and going to do the mitzvah of Achnasat Orchim? Third question, third and final question, and we're going to tie this all in together, Bezrat Hashem, is that we know that each one of the Avot, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, stand for something else. Yaakov stands for Emet. As the Pasuk says, Titen Emet Le'Yaakov. Yaakov stands for Emet. Avraham is for Chesed, Chesed L'Avraham. Emet. Yaakov is Emet. What's so special about Yaakov that he was known to be a truthful person? What does that mean? What, Avraham was a liar? Yitzhak was he used to trick people on business deals? Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. You know, what's going on? Yaakov was the only truthful one out of all of them? What does that mean? What does that mean? He specialized. He mastered emet. What does that mean? B'siyata d'shmaya. Before we understand what emet is, we have to understand what sheker is. Sheker is a very big yesod, guys. It's very important. Sheker means to change. Sheker means to be inconsistent. Because what's a liar? A liar is someone who says something today, and he will change his words and say the exact opposite tomorrow. That's a liar. Sheker means to change. It means inconsistency. Olam Hazeh is sheker. Why is Olam Hazeh sheker? Because Olam Hazeh is not predictable. It's always changing. Everything's always changing. There's no consistency in Olam Hazeh. The meteorologists admit that we haven't figured out the science of meteorology. Even if they don't admit it, they haven't figured it out. How many times have they predicted 3 feet of snow and only flurries came down on the ground? Happened many, many times. So it's not predictable. Olam Hazeh is not predictable. That's why Olam Hazeh is called Olam HaSheker. However, the Torah doesn't change. Torah doesn't change. That's why the Torah is called Emet. Moshe Emet. The Torah to Emet. The Torah is Emet. Why is Torah Emet? Because we don't change the Torah based on the generation. Chas v'shalom. The Torah does not change based on the generation. Doesn't change based on the person. Torah is Torah. Torah is Torah. That's why we say in the Yud Gimel Karim, one of them is Ani Ma'amin, that the Torah Chas v'shalom, I forgot the exact Lashon, who can tell me? Shelo Tishtaneh Chas v'shalom. What's the Lashon? Who knows? B'shum Zman, that Torah Shelo Tishtaneh B'shum Zman Chas v'shalom. That's one of the Yud Gimel Karim, the foundations of our religion, is that the Torah doesn't change. Torah is Emet. Moshe Emet, the Torah to Emet. If you look at the word Emet, it's made up of three letters, Aleph, Mem, and Taf. Aleph is the first letter, Mem is the middle letter, Taf is the last letter. It's a straight, consistent pathway. That's Emet, to be consistent. Consistency means, in Avodat Hashem, what does consistency mean? It means that when you're in the Bet Midrash, and you're learning a sugya, and you're learning, Me'ematai korinit eshma be'arvin, when is Sof Zman Kriyat Shema? Okay, that's at night. When is the Sof Zman Kriyat Shema of the morning? And you're learning the Sugya, according to Rashi, and according to Tosfot, and the Rishonim, and then you go to the Tur, and then the Bet Yosef, and then to the Shulchan Aruch, and then to the Magen Avraham, and then finally you go down to the later Achronim, and it's so enjoyable to learn Halakha, right? Sfardim like learning Halakha, it's so enjoyable. So enjoyable. Ah! There's nothing greater, there's nothing more sweet. So what happens the next morning when you miss Zman Kriyat Shema in the morning? What happened over there when you wake up in the morning a little too late? What does that mean? That means that there's something a little inconsistent. There's something a little inconsistent. Something's a little off over there. Something is not straight. Something is not consistent. There's a little sheker that snuck into there, that snuck into your Torah learning. When your Torah learning is not consistent with the way that you act, then there's a little sheker in there. Chas v'shalom. There's a little sheker. When your actions are not one, are not consistent with your learning, then it's inconsistent. When it's inconsistent, it's like Olam Hazeh. And that has a smell of sheker. Chas v'shalom. Torah is emet. And what it means to be emet is it means to be consistent. It means to practice what you preach. It means when one leaves the Bet Midrash, he allows the Torah not only to penetrate his sechel, but also to penetrate his guf and his actions. That's emet. Yaakov is titen emet li Yaakov. Yaakov was that person, that poster boy of emet. How so? The name Yaakov is made up of two different aspects. One is Yud, the letter Yud. One is Ekev. Ekev means the heel. Yud in Kabbalah means Chokhmah, means your mind. Ekev means the heel, it's the lowest part of your body. Yaakov was Shalem from head to toe. From his mind, from his intellect, to the lowest part of his body. To the lowest part of his body he was one. He was consistent. That's Yaakov. That's why Yaakov is Emet. Yaakov, when he went to Lavan's house, Im Lavan Garti, with Lavan I lived, what does Vashi say? Im Lavan Garti, Garti is the otiot what?
Taryag.
With Taryag mitzvot shamarti, velo lamati masavarim. I went to Lavan's house, most tameh place on earth, and I didn't learn from his actions. What does that mean? The Yaakov was emet. Yaakov, what does that mean? Yaakov was emet. He's consistent. That means the Torah learning that penetrated inside of his sechel. And we know Yaakov stands for Torah. Yaakov ishtam yoshev ohalim. That means the Torah that penetrated into his sechel. It didn't just stay in his sechel. It didn't just stay there. It spilled through into his actions, into his guf. So going back to the pasuk, right? Yotzu abanim mekirba. Rivka was very upset. Why was she upset? Did she know she had twins? There were no sonograms. There were no sonograms back in the day. She didn't know she had twins. She had thought she had one child. So as Rashi says, when she passed by Bet Avodah Zarah, what happened when she passed by Bet Avodah Zarah? Esav would be kicking. What happened when she passed by a yeshiva? Yaakov would be kicking. Right? So she thought there's one child. One child, he's a hafach v'chan, he's inconsistent. When he passes by the Beit Midrash, when he's learning shtark and he's really enjoying it, he's kicking, he's so excited. But when he leaves the Beit Midrash, and he passes by a Beit Avodah Zarah, he's also kicking. Whoa, one second over here. I smell a little inconsistency. I smell a little sheker. And she said, Im ken lama ze anochi. I would rather not have a child, she says. I would rather not have a child. If my child is going to come out like this, like a two-face, like a hypocrite, that when he's in the Bet Midrash, he's the starkest guy in the shir, he's the one that's mechaven to Tosfot question, the first one in the shir, but when he leaves, he's going to do other things that he's not supposed to be doing. She said, I would rather not have this child. Im ken lama ze anochi. So she said, I don't understand. She said, what's going on over here? But then when she went to Shem, Yeshivat Shem Ve'ever, and Shem told her, have no fear. Shne goyim bevitnech, u'shne lomim imayach yiparedu. There's not one child in there, there's really two children. And they're both consistent, don't worry, they're both consistent. Yaakov was the one who's kicking to go to the yeshiva, but he only kicks to go to the yeshiva. He's emet, titen emet le'Yaakov. Esav, who's the one who's kicking to go to Beit Avodah Zarah? Don't worry, there's no inconsistency, there's no hypocrisy over here. There's no hypocrisy over here, you have nothing to worry about. And that's what calmed her down. What did we see from here? She said, I would rather, listen to these words, I would rather not have a child. I would rather not have a child at all if my child will come out like this, like a two-face. Like someone who is excited when he's learning a nice kishmak sugya of Gemara. But then when he leaves the Bet Midrash on Thursday nights and on Saturday nights, he's doing things that he's not supposed to be doing. I would rather not have that child. That's what she's saying. That's what she's saying. Some view Torah as a science. Some view Torah as an intellect. Someone came to me a couple of weeks ago, he said, Rabbi, I'm so excited to learn, to come to Shir every day. I said, why are you so excited? He said, I can't wait to get into one of those, you know, matches, those boxing matches in the Beis Medrash where one guy yells at me and I yell back at him, and I say, no, that's not what Tosfot says, and he says, yeah, that is what Tosfot says, I can't wait to get into that. It's exciting, it's fun. I said, what about it is fun? He said, well, I like to be intellectually stimulated. I said, you picked the wrong religion over here. This is not what Torah is about. Torah is not about it's not a tool that's supposed to feed your intellect. That's not Torah. You go to algebra. Go to algebra. There's enough material out there that you could keep your mind going. You don't have to turn to Torah. We don't need you over here. Torah is something that gets you close to Hashem. That's Torah. Torah is not an intellect. Torah is something that gets you close to Hashem. Mitzvot. Mitzvah comes from the word tzavta. Tzavta means to be davuk, to be connected, to have a kesher with Hashem. That's a mitzvah. So a couple of years ago, there was a Korean TV station that went and they recorded people learning in Panovich Yeshiva. Yeshivat Panovich. There's a YouTube, you can go on YouTube, you'll find it right away. What did they say? Why were they so curious? Why were they so interested in going to Panovich? They said, you know, in their own miftah, they said, you know, for generations, the Jews have been the smartest ones in the entire world. Look how many Nobel Prizes they've won. We think that the reason is because that they've been studying the Talmud for so long. And that's what made them smart. That's why. So what are these outsiders, what are these people looking at Gemara? How are they looking at Gemara? It's something that gets you a little smarter. Someone wants to be a lawyer, yeah, go learn Gemara. It's going to help you be a lawyer. Chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. This is Torah. This is Torah Moshe. This is Torah Moshe. Chas v'shalom to look at Torah like that. Chas v'shalom. Sometimes we have a passion in machshava to talk about in our minds. We have a passion for talking and learning. Talking and learning Torah, we take pride in the information that we know. We take pride in how much knowledge of Torah we know. We go and we show it off to another person, and we show off our encyclopedic mind. Sometimes, some of us, I'm not zochet an encyclopedic mind, but you know, so we do that, and sometimes we get caught up. We get caught up with that, and it stays over here. Ze nishar barosh. Torah is not supposed to be nishar barosh. Torah is supposed to go into your blood, which is supposed to go into every single part of your body, every single square inch of your body. That's why Esav was exact opposite. He was a hypocrite. Why was he a hypocrite? Because we know when Yaakov, the Shevatim, wanted to go and bury Esav, he put up a fight, and Hushim ben Dan, the son of Dan, who was deaf, he wasn't understanding what was going on, right? What did he do? He saw this is Esav, and he said, you know, what's going on over here? He took a knife and he just stabbed his head. He chopped off his head. And Esau's head rolled into the Marat HaMachpelah. He rolled into Marat HaMachpelah in between the legs of Yaakov, in between the feet of Yaakov. So what made it into Marat HaMachpelah with all the Avot and the Imahot? What made it in there? Esau's, what part of Esau's body? His head. Because his head, he was an intellectual person. He had the Torah. He was a big Talmid Chacham Esau. Very big one. But what was his problem? That it didn't go down into his goof. That was Esav's problem. So his head made it in there. His head made it in the Hall of Fame. His head was hanging up there, but not the rest of his body. The rest of his body didn't make it there. So I just want to end off. And Rabotai, I don't mean this personal to any individual in this room. Please don't take it the wrong. Don't be offended if I don't feel like I'm talking to you. I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you. It's just something that is a very, very important topic to know. And sometimes we get caught up with this. We get caught up with showing off our knowledge. We get caught up with our excitement in learning Torah, in our intellect. But we don't follow through with our actions. And Torah is one. Intellect and actions. It's all one. Someone who is a greater learner, someone who's an awesome learner in the Bet Midrash, but doesn't follow through by being a Jew with Shomer Torah Mitzvot, it's not really worth much. And to prove it, what does it say by Eliyahu and the Nevi'ah Baal? The pasuk says like this: is in Malachim Aleph, Perek Yudchet, pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayigash Eliyahu al kol ha'am. Eliyahu went to the nation. What did he say? Vayomar, Vayomer. Ad matay atem poschim al shtei ha'seifim. Until when are you touching upon these two worlds of Torah, of Hashem, and of Avodah Zarah? Im HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elohim, lechu acharav. V'im HaBaal, lechu acharav. What did he say? Pick sides. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a two-face. Don't be a sav. Pick sides. It's better to just pick sides. Well, who are you fooling? One time there was a person, a Baruch of Mezhbish, once said to a chassid, one of his chassidim, that he suspected that there was a little hypocrisy in there. That he was trying to show off in the Bet Midrash, he was showing, trying to show off his learning, but he wasn't up to those standards when it came to when he left the Bet Midrash. And he sensed that. So he approached him and he said to him, with your sins, who are you trying to fool? By acting righteously during your tefillah. You're shuckling back and forth and you're making everyone think that you're a big, big tzaddik. Right? Who are you trying to fool with all of your sins? He said, are you trying to fool Hashem? You can't fool Hashem because He knows the secrets of your heart. You're trying to fool the people around you? Can't fool the people around you. They're not naive. They know what's going on. He said, it must be that you're trying to fool yourself. But what good is there in trying to fool a fool? What good is there in trying to fool a fool? You're not fooling anyone but yourself. So we all have to take this reality check and do this cheshbon ha-nefesh. Are we really up to par with our learning, with our intellect? Or are we just putting on a show in the Bet Midrash? Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the koach to come to this realization and to work on our actions and to be a Jew that's emet, that's filled with emet. Moshe emet v'torato emet. Titen emet li Yaakov. Have a great night, guys.